Let's pray. We are blessed, Lord. We are very blessed people. The children of Israel one time wondered, how do you say that you love them? It seemed that you don't. Because they looked like just any other tribe, just like any other people. And that's exactly how we look like, even us, Father. We struggle. We do things just like the world, Lord God. But Father, when they were waddling like that, you told them that your love, Father, is that you elected them. You chose them amongst the peoples of the world, Lord. You picked them up, Lord God, and opened yourself to them. And you called them your children, Lord. That's exactly what you've done to us, Father. That's why we sing that song, Lord God, down deep into our hearts, but Father, that we are really blessed people. We have the love of the Creator. The Creator loves us, Father. And you created us, Father, for a purpose, for your own purpose, Lord. That at this time, Father, that we can be one with you. That's what you've done, Lord. You've opened yourself, Father, to your bride, Lord. We are so thankful for that, Lord. This morning, the children are gathered together, Father. I have a report of the missionary, Lord God, and maybe a few words that we can talk about, Lord. We want to commit it on your heart, Father, that you bless your children. They are gathered, Father, to hear you, Father. Let it be, Father, that it will be a blessing in their hearts, Father. And Lord God, that you glorify thy kingdom in all things. We give glory now and honor in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen. You can get seated. Good to see Dad. Good to see Mom. Mom, God bless you, Mom. God bless you, God bless you. I've not seen her since I came. And thank you very much. Thank you. And we have some guests. Most welcome. God bless you. Today, not much preaching, but it's a report about a missionary that I took. Don has given his. We were with Don. Don followed me there, and then he left me there. So that's what we're going to do today. But at the same time, it's good to read a scripture here. Maybe if I get time, I'm going to hurry on my report. And then I'd like to talk a bit about something that the Lord has helped me to see. I don't know when I see it. I really don't know when the revelation comes. Because I find myself, I don't know at one point. Then I just go on. I don't know at what time it comes. And I now know it. I remember, we give this example about me and Brother Keenan one time in Kenya. And Brother Keenan was starting to preach. And we were there. And he was asking me, what is the thunder? What is the thunder? And I look at it, I see, okay, I think I had read that so many times, but it had not opened. So I don't know at what time it came open. And we tried to think about that, and I found out that I didn't know. I didn't know what a thunder was at that time. And then I don't know at what time I came to know what a thunder is, because now it seems so obvious what a thunder is. And what God does is, God, when you walk with God, the only thing, bad thing is when you stop walking, when you stop moving, you got to move, you got to walk with God, you got to go with God. If you read the story about the Israelites, whenever they were moving with God, it was okay. Whenever they were moving with God, every time they stopped, you look at that. Every time they stopped somewhere, they stopped moving, they sinned against God. Every time, every single time that they stopped, you got to be moving. You got to grow. And every time, sometimes you don't know. Because, you brothers, we're just like any other people of the world. We're just like any other people. We work, we go places, we go to the grocery stores. We do just like any other. But every time, God has never left you. I will be with you until the end. He said that. He never left you. When you are doing your work, he's still with you. And the best thing is, just meditate. Just think about those things that is revealed to you. Just think about him. Let it not be forgotten that you are with him, whatever you do. And sometimes you don't know. Even when we are talking to other people, sometimes it comes to a place where you can shout, you can do whatever you do. But think yourself about, think about it, like, what if it was Christ talking to that somebody? Would he do the things sometimes we do? Just think about that so that your mind will be always set on Christ and him alone. When you're working, when you're walking, whatever you're doing, you are walking with him, you are going with him. He never leaves us. We leave him. We are caught up with some other things, but he will never leave you. He will never leave you. He will not go with you to sin, but he'll be waiting for you to come back. After you go, whatever you do, he's waiting for you somewhere. He loves you. He loves you. He's done so much for you that, I don't know. Let me start here. So I wanted to read this scripture about because if I get time, I'll come to it, and I want to be very careful with time. But let me read this scripture I want to read. That is Revelation 10. I think I had you read God bless you, brother. But I'd like to say something about that. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as Tewah the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he goes on and he goes on. But in Revelation, in the same book, Revelation 10, verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he had declared to his servants, the prophets. My point was that this, Revelation 10:7, and as I say, I found myself in many a time that I thought this. I give an example of before Don, Brother Holmes, and Brother Kieran came to Kenya, I used to preach that kind seed is here. That's what kind children are here, that they were not finished by the floods. That's what I used to preach. And then when they came, and I was good at that. I had the celebration from Brother Jones. Brother Jones was deep. I used to read his books. Brother Jones was very deep in the revelation of the rapture and the things that we talk about. So I did follow him. But now, when Brother Don came, he talked about it. I didn't agree with him. But I let him talk. I let him talk. and that's why I can encourage people. Just let the people talk. Sometimes you think you know, and sometimes it turns out that you don't. Just let them talk. And listen to them. You can't hear nothing? I'm sorry, dear. Okay, I'm gonna share. All right. I'm sorry. So sometimes we think that we know, and then we find that we don't. So it's good to let the people talk, and then you find where they are wrong. But don't be militant. Don't be militant. It can't be. I can't listen. Don't be like that. Just listen to the people. Just listen to the people, and if you find that they are not what they are saying is not rhyming with another quote here. Hubbly, don't think that we know. We don't know. God is only God who knows everything. Just humble yourself. Go to that brother. Say, brother, what you're saying and this quote, how do you connect them? You're wrong. Don't go. Let's humble ourselves. Let's be humble. Let's be humble. Let's know that this is the work of the Lord. This is not flesh and blood. This is the work of the Lord. And if we be humble, God is going to surely deal with us.
God is God. Don't think that you are bigger than your brother or your brothers. No, no, we are brothers and sisters that love one another. We are the children of one Father. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Just love him. And if you think it's not right, just bring the quote, brother. This and this are not getting together. And sometimes it's only you who is not getting them together. Maybe if you talk a bit, you see, okay, they're getting together so well. They're just like that. You see that? There are some things there that God wanted your brother to help you, or maybe your brother to help. We go to help one another like that. In this matter, I'm saying I because that's the way I see it. I see that Revelation 10, 1 to 7, Revelation 1, 1 to 6 is not the same as Revelation 10, 7. That is the way I see it. And I'm sorry, if you see it differently, help me. That's the way I see it. That Revelation 10, 1 to 6 and Revelation 10, 7. And I don't know at what time I came to know that. I don't know at what time. Because it hit me so much in Kenya. Because I saw people getting confused on that. I saw a lot of people getting confused on that. And they were asking me, how is this going to get into this? And how is this going to get to this? And they're talking about Revelation 10, 7, instead of Revelation 10, 1 to 6. They mix it up. So I thought, this is not the same. This is not the same. And I was saying, Revelation 10, 7 had to happen fast. Revelation 10, 7 had to happen fast. Before Revelation 10, 1 to 6 happens. And that the prophecy is that the mighty angel coming from coming down from heaven has got to fight the angel, the seventh angel, which is actually Revelation 10, 7, down here. So Revelation 10, 7 happens. Now, to that, Revelation 10, 1 to 6 to happen. That's the mighty angel coming, and that's Christ. Christ coming down happens. Brother Branham's message, the seventh trumpet, the seventh trumpet, because it's sounding, The Revelation 10, 7 is sounding, So it's a trumpet, that is the seventh trumpet. The seventh trumpet is Brother Branham, is Malachi 4, 5. And that has to be here first and open the six seals before the seventh comes. Because the seventh, the prophecy, the seventh brings him down. I'm not preaching that right now. I'm on my reports, but I wanted to read that. If I get time, I'll go back to that, and we can talk about that. And I'm not trying to say that you people don't know. I know you people know, but it hit me. I don't know at what time I knew it like that, but it hit me because of the people. When I talk to the people, and as I give my report, you got to realize that brothers, since I went. I don't think there's a single day. I don't remember any single day. Maybe when I was traveling, that I've not preached. I might be talking to one person. I might be talking to a group. I mean, it's in a fellowship or in a church. I've been preaching almost daily. Sometimes when I'm traveling, I don't. And it was a very, very busy trip. And I didn't go nowhere. I just stayed in Kenya. But I traveled different places by God's grace. And before I continue with that, I would say thank you very much for your contributions. You did it. And Daddy, God bless you. God bless you very much. God bless you. I know each one of us did something. But I think he got the giant thing. And may God bless you. May God bless you very, very much. And that was great. I don't know how we could have actually been a success without you contributing the way you did. And the people are very happy. I forgot the letters that was given to give to you, to thank you. They wrote some letters. And they are very thankful. They are very, very thankful for the contribution. I don't know whether we could have made that. What happened with the camp there this time that we needed so much is our opponents. There are some people who fight us. There are some people who fight us, fight the revelation that we have. And they are still in the message. But they fight this revelation that we have. They're in the church ages, and maybe some of them are listening to me. This is exactly my thought about that. They're in the church ages. They're in the church ages. They're in Pentecostal church age, Laodicean church age. So, and we are over here, that Laodicea is over, and we are over here, that Christ has come. You see, that is the difference. Now, because of that difference, they don't want to have nothing to have with us. So they went before us and took the school. But this one, they could not get. So they get the one that we have two schools there that we pray with. We get this. If they don't want to give us, they say, no, we are paying this much. If they don't want, we go to the other one. So we get the other one. So they went there, they were refused this, and they got the other one. So we had to get there. We had to get this one now. Then they paid very expensively. They paid very, very high. We've never paid that kind of money. So now these people knew we cannot do nothing, and we are here now. So what they did was they hiked the price. So the price was so high, we could not have made it. Without you, brothers, we could not have made it. And then the people there are too poor. They are so poor. The economy in the country is so bad right now that they cannot even pay. They cannot even pay for there. You could have had very, very few people. But your contribution made people come from far, and come and listen. We had some people from Pokot. Brother Don, when he came, he went to Pokot. We could not get a freight for Brother Don to go to Pokot. So I put him in a matatu. Matatu is a public transport. I put him there, and I felt for him because it was not a very good one. I felt when I left, I just said, I wish I was going with you, but I'm not organized to do that. And it was so short notice that we could not get the freight, and there was a holiday there. So I put him in the mud. I just left him there. And I said, I stayed with him, and the mud was not going, and it was getting night. And I had left some bags at a sister's place. I didn't want to go to the sister's place so late at night. So I felt like I got to leave. So I left him, brother. I didn't like it, leaving him, brother. I didn't like it. But he was there, and he had to travel at night and like that. And he went to Pokot. Pokot is a very remote area, very dry, very, very dry. It's remote. It's away from civilization, Brother Don. And sometimes when they are coming to Nairobi from there, it's Kenya. But when they are coming to Nairobi from there, they say that they are going to Kenya. It doesn't seem like it's Kenya. It's so remote. It's way, way, way away. And that is where Brother Don was going. And that is not where to start my. So the first week when I went to Kenya, brothers, I felt like I didn't want to say this, but it's part of my report and it's good to say it. Of course, the day I reached, that was I think on Wednesday. The following day, I had the service. I preached in the service, I preach. And then they gather around. I sit down because I'm so tired of preached. I sit down. And sometimes each person has a question. And I tell you, the thing of it is, God, because I can't do it. I can't do it. They ask a question. Sometimes I've never even thought about it. And the answer is just right there. Is given by God, and I open my iPad, it's there. And I realize I didn't even know it like that. And now when I lead it to them, we all gathered there and we are seeing it, all of us together. And this is not me, this is God. This is God doing some things like that. And I tell them, this I don't know also. I don't know. I'm running with you. I tell them, I'm running with you. It's God doing it. It's not any person, it's not anybody. And God has been so gracious in this trip, so gracious that I've seen some things that I've not seen before. And I've seen some people that I thought, and that's why I encourage you, brother, even if a brother is not seeing it, don't throw him away. And I've always respected these five musts. It might not be you who God wanted this to go, maybe to take to him. You don't know. Maybe it's not his time. It's not time. I've had people, and I'm going to come to that, people who opposed me completely in the past years. I've tried to go to their houses. I've tried my best. They don't want even to hear it. And they say, no, they don't know nothing about this. They don't want it. And like that. And I've tried. But this time, they are sitting there. They were asking those questions, and I didn't know what to do because it's just coming. It's just coming, coming, coming. And the Lord did marvelous. Now, so the first week, I decided after preaching the first week, I preached on Sunday. And then on Monday, around Monday, I think this should be the second week. Around Monday,
I took off. I wanted to be somewhere with God. And that's the part that I didn't want to say so much, but I wanted to be alone with God. I wanted to go somewhere and to speak to God myself. I wanted God. There were some things that I felt like, one of them is Brother Moriah. It's really been in my head and some other things, but one of them is that. I don't know why Brother Moriah is there. We've been talking to God. God is not answering. God is not doing nothing, and he's not killing him. He's not taking him. And I can see the sister suffering like that. And I didn't have to talk about this, but that's okay. Yeah. So that was one of the things that was really, that has really been in my heart. So, and some other things. And I wanted God to, I wanted God personally to talk to me and tell me, what is happening here? What is this? There's some things that you need to know. And as you know, brothers, our God is not deaf. Our God can talk. Our God can hear, and he can talk. Why is he not talking about these things? And I wanted to have his face tell me what's happening. So I left home, and I didn't tell nobody except my wife. My wife and my wife here. I told them, I'm gone. Don't tell nobody. So people are looking for me. They heard I'm here. They heard I'm in Kenya. They are looking for me. And my phone was not working. So I went to a place called Hell's Gate. Hell's Gate is where you go. I didn't know that, Hell's Gate. But there are places in Kenya. There are places where you people go. You can go there. You rent a room. It's very cheap, 500 shillings, like $5. It's a good room. It has a bed. And you can stay there as long as you want and pray. Nothing else. No food, no nothing. Now, when I went there, I didn't know that they don't allow food. So I carried some, my wife advised me to carry some nuts and some crackers that are healthy. And I carried them. But at the gate there, they said, no, you don't get here with food. I think that's their doctrine. I said, that's wrong doctrine. Because you can eat and pray. They say, no, here, when you come, you don't eat, you just pray. I said, that's okay. So I entered there. But I could not stay longer. I stayed for 3 days. I felt like I can't stay without food longer than that. So I had to get out and go get something to eat. But when you go, you don't come back. Or you don't eat and then come back like that. So you can do that. So I tried to tell them that there's no doctrine that you should get hungry so that you pray. But they have their doctrine, and they cannot allow you. So I stayed there for 3 days, and then from there, I moved. And I remember my wife helping me, because the hotel that I went again, I wanted a quiet hotel. I went to a hotel, and for I think 2 days, my wife helped me with the payment there, because I didn't have enough money. But I stayed there, and again, it was quiet. It was like that. I see the face of the Lord, and it was so good. And I was heading to, the direction that I was moving was to a brother that had died from Mombasa. Brother, don't know him. I think, did he let you preach in Mombasa?
Brother Juma
Ondawa. So we buried him. I stayed there, we went there with Brother Churchill. So I stayed near Brother Churchill's place. And we went there and buried him. And and we had a good time with the old timers, Brother Mishik, and the rest of, and it was a great thing. It was a good thing. And now, that place was not open. We're going to preach there. Now it's open. After that burial, they are inviting me. We talked with them, and they said, oh, brother, why don't you come? And they all invited me. That place is now open. It was completely shut. On the other side, Brother Churchill's place, they don't have, brother, I went there. I think, Dad, you remember when I caught you unawares and talked to somebody? You remember that time? In that place. That time, they allowed me to preach because they had organized for me, Churchill had organized for me. When I got there, they refused me to preach. It was some years ago. They refused me to preach. And I think I was with my wife also. I was with my wife, and I was with Brother David. So we said goodbye, and we walked out. And we said goodbye. And I called one of the elders. I told him, let the bride
of those people who may be God required to hear what I've got to say. Because I've traveled from many miles to come and there's the blood, that blood be on their hearts. And that brother said, no, brother, that time. He said, no, you're not going to leave me here. This is like a curse. You're going to leave me here. I'm going to go with you. And he took his bag and he was going out with us. Then the people saw that. He said, no, let him preach, let him preach. And they allowed me to preach two sermons that time. So, but that was all. I could not preach there again. Now, this time, I went there and I took the brother, the pastor, and brought at you to the barrio. And then we come back and I preached. And brothers, I just went to Revelation 11. And I thought that I would preach about the two witnesses. Because that's a big, big thing there. They don't know what it is. They don't know who they are expecting two witnesses to come to Israel. So, and I don't know, there's nobody I've heard him. I have heard they are talking about this. So I decided I can just touch it a bit. And then I read that scripture, Revelation 11:1. I read it. And I didn't move from there. And I didn't read anything else. And it was, God took over and we talked, brother, and it was babbling. I can't describe it. I can't describe it because God was there and everybody felt it. And it was great anointing, great revelation coming out and like that. That's when I discovered from the pulpit that I also did know something there. That, you see, the Bible said that and John was told to take a rod and measure. Remember that? That's the first verse of the book of Revelation, Revelation 11. He was still told to take a rod to measure the temple. That's when it hit me from the pulpit. As we talked and I told them that, I didn't know, I didn't see it that way. But there was no temple to measure. You know, and we can talk about that. There was no temple to measure. What John was measuring was not the temple, because there was no temple to measure. The first temple was built by Solomon, and it was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. And then the second temple was made by Zerubbabel. It was destroyed by Titus. Now, there's nothing there. It's only a wall. And where it was, beside it, is Akasa Mosque and Doom of Rock on the other side. So there's nothing. And John was not being told to do that then, 2,000 years ago. John was told to take a rod to measure now, this age, in this age. I think we know that. That's when it hit me from the pulpit. I had not seen it like that. And many other things came up. And when it comes up, I tell people, I didn't know that. I've just known it here. But we are looking at it all together. Why is God preaching to us? Is God talking to us? It's not a man talking. It's, when you go there and you think you have revelation, no, it's God giving you that. And God can open any time. And God can tell you whatever. God preaches to us. God talks to us. Is God helping us? And we are really thankful for the things that we see. So I never seen it like that before. And I saw it. I said, okay. And we talked. We went deep. And from there now, the brother said a message. You know, they are kind of organized. And they have Meshik and those other. He sent a message. He said, now, we want you around. We want you to come around Gomba. Because what he's saying is in the message. He's reading it. He's here. And of course, I had not read it. I had not read anything. But what I'm saying, they're seeing it in the message. What I'm talking about, they're seeing it in the message even now when I'm not reading. And I'm connecting it to the Bible. They say, now we want you all to come and see it. And see what he's saying. We've been fighting him for all this wrong. We want you to come. They said, and now they made a convention right there. And they had a convention. I don't know when the S was coming up. But now, they are wanting me to go into my convention in Vika. And leave 2 days because they are waiting for me. I said, I don't know whether I can be able to do that. And because I had guests, I had Dawn, I had the rest of the people, I said, I can't do that. But they want me. They want me so bad. They want me so bad. They wanted me to preach for 2 days to them. Nobody's going to preach me, come with those things. And I had, especially the two witnesses, especially the rapture. Why do we say we are in the rapture? How are we in the rapture? And God has helped us. God has helped us because it's here. It's just God gives us how to connect it so well that the people can see it, that we are in the rapture. And not because, you know, they've been scorning, you know, scorned, despised. You know, like, you are in the rapture and you're still sick. You are in the rapture and you're still educating your children and having children and things like that. That's how they, that's scorning, that's despised. But now, they are coming down now, seeing, that's not the kind of rapture we are talking about. We are not talking about this rapture of flying away and things like that. And another thing that I've also, God has helped me to see for some time now, is that this thing, because it's not connecting very well when you say that you're in the rapture. Have you changed the, do you have the change of the body? It's about the change of the body. About the change of the body is a big, big topic that people need to look at. Because people think that these atoms are not going to change. This body is going to go to the grave. This body is going to the grave. No any other thing. You cannot do it, nothing else. But the kind of change that God is talking about is when the quickening power, when He Himself, the fullness, comes in you. When He comes in you, you are changed. Changed to what? You become subject.
Amen.
You become a prisoner. You become a prisoner. You become, He has preeminence over you. That's what happened. There's no inheritance. This body goes to the grave, and all of us has got to die. Every one of us has got to go to the grave. You know, all those things are like that. Now, from there, they really wanted me to go to stay. I cannot stay. I went back to Thika. I drove back to Thika. I slept at Narok. I was so tired. I prayed for almost 3 hours. 3 hours, and they wanted more. I was so tired, I was sweating and things like that. So I drove back to the car. I could not drive until home, so I stayed one night at Narok. And then from Narok is where we wanted to go see animals. We didn't go see animals because people did not come in good time. The only person who could have gone with me was Brother Don. And Brother Don has been there, so we said, we don't need to go see. Maybe we're going to do it next year. We're going to do it next year when we go. We need to go. So it's good. It's good. Brother, it's very, very good. When you go to see those animals, it's very, very, very good. It's very, you enjoy it. You enjoy it. I've seen pictures of people on the roofs of the cars and going, taking pictures, and it's a good thing. It's a very, very beautiful thing. I've taken some people there, Nate Moore, and the rest, and them, and they really enjoyed. They really enjoyed. They said they would come back again, but now I'm in the U.S. So now, that's how it was. I went back to Kenya, to Thika, and started preparing for the camp. Now, okay, now, so when I went back to Kenya, there's this brother, I want to, maybe he's listening in, he doesn't have a gadget, he doesn't have a very good phone, maybe he has got a way to get one, and I was talking to Brother Michael yesterday, and I was telling him how people, they don't know the things that we do. God has helped us. God has, and I tell you, what you did was great, because you make it possible for these things to be taken over there. And Dad and the rest of you who are preachers, I urge you, take it. And I was telling Brother Michael yesterday, Brother Michael G, it's not a very pleasant thing when you see like children. They don't have food, physical food. They are crying, please give me a bit, and maybe you have and you're not giving, or sometimes you're not able to give because of this reason or the other. But it hurts you. No hurting, but it really is heavy on your heart when children are doing that and you're not able to. Is that right? So is it, brothers, spiritually speaking. When you people see people crying, please. When I was coming back, they were saying, "No, brother, you mean you can't have one more day?" I said, "No, because I have a flight. I don't have more money to add or something else. I got to go back. And they're there, and you see them kind of going, please. I'll give you an example of this brother. He heard I was there. Brother, this brother, I've gone to his house. I've tried my best until I gave up. I thought this is not a seed, and that's what I thought in my mind. I didn't see it, but this cannot be the seed. Because he's opposed fighting me all the time. I've tried my best. I've gone to his house. I remember one time I drove to his house, and then we sat somewhere in a vehicle at Ashid. And then I talked to him, and he was writing notes. Then finally he says, "Where is he?" Because I'm talking about how he's come and how he's done, how Revelation 10 has done, where is he? And then I said, "I don't know." And the problem was he was fighting. So I said, "Okay." So he calls me, and he had him there. He calls me, and I talked to him a bit. That's why I'm saying God is doing something. And he told me some things, some feelings. And I said, "Can I come?" He said, "Yeah, you can come anytime." So I'd come from Kisumu. I've preached now, and I'm here. So he came. And sometimes you even don't know what they're going to ask you. You don't know. So you're just there. You don't know. So he comes, and brother, he came around 7, 8 there, but we started talking. We opened our books, and Mama Bill was in the kitchen. We opened our books at 9. We didn't stop until the following day, 11. No sleep, no nothing. The only thing that we did was to eat. And as we ate, we had our quotes there. And he doesn't have an iPad. He doesn't even have a phone. There are books. He had maybe a bag of books, and he's taking it, and it's a drained. And he's a draining. I'm saying, let's read here. And he said, is it there? And I can see him. It's here. And I show him, it's here. Just read this for yourself. I'm not going to read that. There's nothing like that. he would get mad. Then he would open his book now, and it's exactly there. He says, "Okay." He shuts up. Then we go to another thing. From 9 to 11 the following day. And he said, "Brother, I've never seen these things." And it got out of my hand, and I don't know. He doesn't know what to do. I took him to the public transport, and he went home. I said, I want it again. Can we go back again? Can we do it again? When you see somebody like that, seeing it and doing like that, you feel like you feel heavy in your heart. Now, he doesn't have an iPad, and Brother Michael, when I talked to him about that, he said, "I think we can help them with something. Whatever you have, I mean, if you have some things here, that maybe I was suggesting that if we have some phones," but that was between me and Michael. We were just talking, me and Michael, because he was reading for them. They don't have a book. They have a bag of books. Me is just doing that, and he's looking, "You just do it, brother, like that, and he's here." I said, "Yes." And it's so easy for us. And you look at them, the hunger in his heart. He saw he has been fighting so hard about serpent seed. Now he said, "Brother, I can now preach it. I can now preach it, brother. There's no way to deny it. It's here. It's truth." And when you see that, brother, you feel we have a burden. We have something. We got to do this. Brothers, we got to do this. We got to get them this. We got to get them this message. We got to do something. They're hungry. They are crying. We can't keep quiet. We can't keep silent. We got to do something, brothers. And it was great. Now from there, I continued preaching in the church. I'm not going nowhere. Just continued preaching in the church. And a brother calls that they have heard that I'm here, and they would like me to go there. Is it about 300 miles, brother? Maybe 150 miles, something like that. Kitui, going to Sindos Place, Kitui, into the mountains. I didn't want to drive my car there because the road is very rough. You remember that, brother? The road is very rough. I didn't like that. But this is in the mountain. This is another direction, but the schedule is the same distance from Kitui town. So I wanted to leave my car there and drive, but Brother Singo told me, "No, it will be very hard for us to go and come back." Like this. So we went. And my car broke down when I was going. So it broke down. So the first day, I was not able to go. So we went in the evening on Friday. And from there on, from Friday, I preached. Each day, three sermons. Even on Sunday, I was not able to come to church because I preached there. The only thing they know is what Agumba preaches is that we are in the rapture. And they were saying, yes, we're in the rapture, we're in the rapture. Yes, we are, yes, this is the rapture. Of course, when you hear them, they've just gotten a bit of it and they want more. They said, just preach it. And I remember when I preached the first sermon, the brother got a hold. I didn't know it like that, brother. Like crying. I didn't know it. The pastor. I didn't know it like that, brother. And there were two churches gathered that day. And the people, you see the people with their pens. With their pens and papers, writing. And you see how interested they are, how thirsty they are with this, and you really feel. And that also makes you strong, and makes you say it. The anointing comes, and you say it. It was great, brother. And now, when I left, they say they are coming to the camp, because the camp was now the following week. So they said they were coming to the camp. Some of them were not able to come. And the thing of it is, brother, some of them are so poor. You feel like you want to give them your shoes because the shoes are torn and everything. And it's like stepping on the side of the shoe. It's gone completely. And you don't know what to do. And you cannot help. If you have 1,000, you just give them. Because there's nothing else you can do. Some of them, brothers, are walking like from here, maybe 5 miles or more to come and listen to this and like that. So, and they don't have cars. They don't even have some money to ride on a boda boda. Boda boda is the motorbike. So they are walking. And some of them are elderly. You see that? And you feel for them. You can give them some fares. That time, but on Sunday they will still come like that, and some of these things you cannot help. But the point is, they are lasting. That old lady wants to hear this, and you got to bring it in a simpler way, in a manner that she's gonna get it. And Siengo was really helping me because that is his tribe, you know, it's the Kamba, and he was translating in Kamba and explaining it. And very, very, very well. I can hear Kamba, but I cannot speak Kamba. So I can hear he's explaining it very, very well in their language. Even those old women will say, amen, amen, amen. And brother, this is not something that you can do. This is not something you can do. You can only read. You can only teach. There's nothing you can do. But when you see them getting it, it really touches me, brothers. It really touches me. You want to do something. You want to do something for these people, and it was great. I stayed there for 3 days. The other church was from far. The other church was like going to Mombasa, Brother John, Kibwezi. And they said, brother, would you come to our church also? I said, I don't think I can. They said, when do you come back? I don't know. I said, December. December? I usually come in December. I said, December? You see, people say, you mean, they don't want that. They don't want to hear that. That's too much. That's too wrong. I said, I don't think I can do nothing. But if God is willing, one of us. In fact, brothers, before I left, I'm going before myself a bit. Before I left, I was in a hotel because they canceled my flight. When they canceled my flight, they put me into a hotel just near the airport, and I sit there. And my sister talked. I said, brother, have you gone? I said, yes, I'm gone. But I'm still in Nairobi, but I'm gone. I'm not coming back home. I said, there's something that I would like to say. There's something that I would like to say. Brother, if you can, please. You people, you don't know what. That is the sister saying. You people don't know what you do to us when you come. You and Brother Don. He said that. You and Brother Don. He said, what? He said, Don has talked to my daughter. And my daughter is completely changed. Don doesn't even know. I don't know what you said, Brother Don, to that daughter. He said, you don't know what you did, but my daughter is completely changed. My daughter is completely changed. She's now come completely to the message. He said, but I would request you one thing. Don't come together. That is her suggestion now. Not my suggestion, her suggestion. Please don't come together. Let Don come, and when he gets back, you come, so that we can have more of you. That's what he's saying. That's what sister calling me, telling me that. I say, we'll do our best. We'll do our best. But my point is, people are hungry and thirsty. We cannot rest. Brothers and sisters, we cannot rest. We got to do something. And brothers, I'm telling you, those people Those people are here in this revelation. And God, by his grace, you've not done nothing before God. It's his grace you're here. And I'm not trying to do it. I'm just to show you the truth. You are here. And when they see you here, they cry, give us that we have. Just drop a dot. Just drop some of that you have to us. When you see like that, brother, and they recognize it. When you talk, they recognize it. They recognize that thing is high. I've never seen that. I want it. It's mine. I want it. Praise be to God. And the Lord is gracious. The Lord is grace. It's the grace of God. I'm just saying, you're not where you are because of anything. It's his grace. It's his grace. It's his. God loves you. God loves you. And now, those our sisters and brothers, God is helping them. And it's hard sometimes because you meet a person who is against, you know, like that group that came just near us and had their camp there. They are completely, but another thing about that camp, I'm coming to that. We had our camp. So we had our camp, and the camp was great. The camp was quite a success. We had a problem, and we're going to solve that, brother. We're going to solve that. We had a problem, Dad, with our gadgets, because the only thing that we were wishing were my gadgets, my phone and my two iPads. And my two iPads were completely full. And I didn't know that. I was wondering, what is happening? So they could not record. They could not do nothing. So we didn't record much. But I wish that we actually would have some pictures, brother, of those churches here. Maybe one time we have a screen here and we can have them. Those people and how happy they are. And they are great people at heart. By the looks, they don't look great. But at heart, when you talk to them, they want nothing. They just want that. They want that God. That God of the message, that's all they want. And like that. So finally they came to the camp. It was very hard to get that school. It's a new principal. And finally we got the school by God's grace. And we had a very, very good camp. We had a problem with the sound and recordings, but we're going to sort out that. We are talking to somebody who is a kind of a sound engineer. And he's going to fix that problem. Maybe next time we not have that problem. Of course, it was very good. We had those guests from, and I hope they will be able to come to our Easter meetings. I hope they will. If they're not, that's okay. Rohan and Duarathan is a very big name. I'm not able to pronounce it. Brother Duarathan. And then some two brothers from Rulama and Brother Joseph, Pastor Joseph from South Africa. We had some Brother David and Brother Masika from Uganda. And then all the rest of them, most of them were the Rock Folk. And but we had a very good time. We preached different things. We preached different things. But one of the things that I saw Brother Don trying to do, which was very important, and he even came with it to our church, because he preached the following Sunday, Brother Don preached to our church. Before he left. I think you left on Tuesday. Or you left on Tuesday, but on Sunday you are with us. On Sunday, on Sunday service. So now, and I like this. There's a spirit, brother. There's a spirit. There's a doctrine that's going on. I'll call it a doctrine. I don't see it like that. Maybe some of you have seen it like that. I've not seen it like that. And Brother Don tried to really place things in the right place. And that was very, very, very important to some of the people. Because they say that, and I don't know, if you've seen it that like that, forgive me. That we here we are. When you see me, I'm in my theophany. Brother Joe, when you die from here, you go to the sixth dimension. If you are a Christian, if you are a good man, you go to the sixth dimension. If you're a bad guy, you go to the fifth dimension. Now, that's obvious for everyone. But now, they believe when you go there in the sixth dimension, we believe all like that you have another body. I think it's called celestial or something in the Bible. But the theologians call it theophany. For those people who are not... So they call it theophany. It's a theophany. You get into another body. This body drops, it is buried, and you now go to that. That's right. Now, this is saying, and if you hear, and maybe you see it that way, you can help me. These people are saying that there's a doctrine or a school of thought. Let me call it a school of thought. That we now, in these bodies, we are in our theophany. We are in our theophany. These bodies, when you are here, on earth, alive, you are in our theophany. And that really hits a lot of... when you drive it from Genesis to Revelation, it doesn't... I've tried to drive it, and it doesn't... There's a lot of hindrances. It doesn't go through. The other Revelation doesn't go through. And I've tried to drive it like that, and it's not going. So, Brother Don, Brother Don, hit it from all sides, and bring it to... And God did a lot of, Brother Don, you did it. You bringing it to straightening, putting it where it belongs, with the quotes of the prophet, Brother Don, and that was great. That is one of the things that he did. And one of the things, another thing he did is when he came to my church, this group that is really on that came also, because we gathered a few churches, about three or four churches were gathered together on Vika on that Sunday when Brother Don, after this camp now, we finished the camp I think on Saturdays, right? On Friday. And then on Saturday, this is the only day we rested. And then on Sunday, Brother Don came and we had some other churches gathered together. That's what I'm saying, brother. People want to hear this. When they hear Don is here and he's gathering people, they all gather. They come from very far. They gather together, and we had another great service there. And Brother Don now hit it again from another direction. From another direction, I've not seen it that way, Brother Don. From another direction, he brought it and lined it and put it there before the people. And some of the people that come from a certain church, they're up there. They really were they had something to look at, and then they say, okay, so they see this other side, because they've been taught about this other side so much. Now they had this other side, this other side that they need to look at, and it was great. It was, brothers, I'm telling you, sometimes you know when you're in those things. When you're in those atmospheres, you don't want them to go. When it's over, you feel like, why is it over? You want us to live in that kind of atmosphere of the word and preaching and prayers and people singing their heart out. I mean, you see them. You want to live in that kind of atmosphere. Then when it's over, you feel like, okay, I didn't like it that way. I didn't like it to get over, but it's all right, because we got to live the life also on this side. But it's a very, very, very good atmosphere. We had a very good service that Sunday. And then from there, I was led back. And the other thing that happened after that, I'm not going to talk about my preaching, because I preach daily from there again. We lost a sister, and her daughter stays with us. Her daughter is a member of our church in Vika. So I told them that I told her because it was now getting closer to my time to go, and I felt like before that in this week after Brother Don went, there's this brother called Brother Momba from Embu. Brother Mumba had given Brother Don a very hard time. You remember that, Brother Don? A very hard time opposing Brother Don and saying, we are not in these things, and getting us back there. And Brother Don felt like, this man is so hard on me, and like that. Brother Don didn't hate him, but I don't think we have never met again. We have never come close again. I tried to bring him and show him that what Brother Don is saying is the prophet saying it, but he was so caught up with the Pentecost or something. His thing is now come up a bit, and he's saying that what we are calling the bride age is what was taught by Paul. Do you get that kind of confusion a bit? They may confuse people, because they're saying, and there's a quote that Brother Don read here the other night that they're taking. Let me say it again so that you understand. You see, what we are taken back to is Laodicean. It's Laodicean church. Laodicean church is taking the people back to this and this. Ephesian church age and Laodicea is the same. Because this takes us back to this. Like the true baptism of water baptism and what have you. They're taking back to that. But now, after that, we go to another age. He says it's a new land, it's a new message, it's a new everything. He calls it in other places bright age.
Amen.
The church ages are over. Now he says, no, this, what we are calling that, is taking us back to Paul. That is the thing. And now he had that. So he came to my house. Again, from 8 to around 6 in the morning. We're just there, talking. And I remember one time, because you see, God has helped us. We go to these quotes, and the quotes are there. So when you open the quote like that, he says, You mean that? And I remember I was going to the bathrooms. At one point, I was going to the bathrooms. I'm just casual, but he's seen something. He said, no, Brother Gumba, don't go. I said, I'm using the bathroom. What? And he's standing up, excited. He had seen something. Something has opened to him. I said, don't go. I said, I'm not going. We're sitting down there. I said, yes, I'm sitting. And he's jumping up now, like you can see, he's like crazy, he's seen something. I said, praise be to God. And I come back, brother, we need to dig these things. And we continued until 6. And he was very, very tired. He's a very old man. He's older than me. He's at least older than me. And near some years. So I told him, just rest. We can continue some other times, but not this time, maybe until we come. When you come, and even when he's gone, when he reached home, he called me again. Brother, do you don't even have 3 hours or sometimes that you can? I said, I don't think I do. When do you do it again? I don't know, brother. Then he calls again. You mean you cannot even squeeze me? I said, no, brother. There's nothing I can do. And then now he's caught up with this. He can see these things. And he says, brother, I can see things I've never seen before. And I said, God bless you. We'll continue sometimes. But now he wants me to sit down again with him and continue with that. And like that. So, and you can see the excitement when he says just a small thing. It's not anything. It's just one quote that has opened his mouth, his whole thing like that, and he's seeing things that he's never seen, and he's jumping up like that. You feel like, okay. I wish I had more time. I wish they can come here maybe for a month or two and hear you people, and you people preach like that. And I wish that can happen, but sometimes it doesn't. Because of the visas and what have you. But we had a very good time. Now, from there, the next thing that happened was that sister died, and I didn't want to go. And the other thing I realized that, and I said that the other night, you don't know who you are to me. You don't know who I am to you, brother. You are my sister. You are my brother, and you mean so much to me. That sister, when the mother died, was hit so hard. And she's surrounded by other people, his people, his children, his brothers, his sisters, his uncles, his everybody. But I called and said, because I'm going back to the U.S. and I'm not even organized, I'm not packed, I don't think I'll be able to come. And I said, what? I heard from the phone, what? I said, the sister, I don't know. No! He said that. I said, no. I said, I changed. I said, no, I'm coming. When she heard that I was not going, she kind of, it was so hard on her. And I said, no, I'm coming. And we organized with some brothers. We drove our brother's vehicle, and we went there. And when she got out of the house, when she saw us, you can see that face. She's just crying to see us. You don't know who you are, brother, you are sister. We are one, brothers. We love one another. Everybody means something, but you mean more than anything to her. You are son of God, you are daughter of God to her. Praise be to God. So you see that thing? So that taught me something. When you're beside a brother, when he's suffering or whatever. I remember one time, by accident, because it was by accident, I didn't even know that he needed something to start with him. I went to Brother Gerard. And it was the evening. When I went there, I heard him calling other people. He said he came to me when I was in the valley. And I remember him taking me to his bedroom. And we sat down on the bed. And he gave me stories, very many stories that I've never heard about him. And he said, "Brother, you did good." And he was so happy. "Brother, when a brother is suffering, when a sister is suffering, just know that you are so important to them. But when you start with them, even a phone call, "Brother, I'm with you. God bless you. I'm praying." That goes a long ways. He's doing something to the heart of that brother, the heart of that sister. He's showing love. He's showing that you're standing with them and that you're praying for them. They value you. Brothers and sisters value you. Each one of you, they value you. You are very important to them. Just stand with them. Be with them. Praise be to God. So we went there and we came back. When we were coming back, we had a brother from Muranga. He's called Gacheru. Gacheru has also been very much against us. Very, very much against us. But I still love them. I show them love. So he stayed in my house. And a brother, that was the only day that I had to organize myself. And he said, "No, you can give me 2 hours. We had organized for 2 hours. When we come back, he stayed in my house. So in the morning, he said, I told him, "Let's have 2 hours. He asked me for 2 hours. He said, let me give you 2 hours. And by the time we realized what we were doing, it was already 6 in the evening. From morning around 8 to 6, we stayed there, we talked, and this was his words. "Brother, now I'm with you in this message. Now I'm with you. There's nothing but the truth. This is the truth." Maybe he's listening to me. That's what he said. That's what he said to me around 6. And I think they're going to now be able to be coming to church in Thika or something. They're organizing something so that he can be coming to church. That's a brother who's been completely against us. Completely against us. And he's a brother who gave me a lot of trouble when we had a ministry meeting somewhere. He was bringing this quote, and I didn't know it until Don told me how to look at it. It was about this. There's a quote who is this Melchizedek? Paragraph 110. I think paragraph 110 or 111, like that. And it talks about that you come and with your theophany and pick up the glorified body. And he kept on putting it, and I never looked at it, and it hit me so bad. That's 10 years, several years ago. But now I told him, "You know how you hit me with this? And now I can read it, and now I can experience it." Yes, yes. And you can see it so well. So what I'm trying to say is God is doing something. God is helping the people. People of God are seeing these things. Now, another thing is, when this happened, Brother Moses, maybe if you're listening to me, Brother Moses, is the one who was the leader of that group, one of the leaders of that group that we had this convention, and we had this convention. Now, so he was completely opposed to me. And I didn't have a chance to go to Muranga Church to preach. So from the bruise, he calls me. He calls me, he says, "Brother, can we talk?" I said, I didn't want to talk to him. Let me be honest. I didn't want to talk to him. We've gone through very many things. I didn't want to talk to Moses. And I told him that much. I don't think I know. He said, "Please." He said, "Okay." So I went to his house, and we sat down. I think we met around 9, and I left the house around 4, 5 there, between 4 and 5. That's when I arrived. We talked things, and he realized that things he had done some things and talked some things. And he said, "Brother, we can get together," and we agreed, "Let's get together, and we want this message. And this is exactly what it is." And we agreed that we can be preaching to his church. We will be preaching to his church. It was kind of stopped for some time. But now, he told me I can preach. So I went to preach there. I preached two sermons that Sunday. I didn't even go to my church. That was the last sermon, and that Sunday, but I had got to go there. And I preached about two things. I preached about, because that's where I know they have a problem. They have a problem with the two witnesses. I told them exactly who the two witnesses are. And I could see Moses and everybody there taking notes and saying, it's complete like that. Because they're waiting for two witnesses. But that was not the first. The first one was, where are we? Where are we in this message? Because they're in the church ages, okay? So I brought, and I've never brought it somewhere like that. I brought it like, you cannot preach. You cannot preach Wesley. You cannot preach Luther. You cannot preach Wesley. You cannot preach Pentecost. And to that, Pentecost is Brother Branham. Now I showed them that. What are you supposed to preach? I went to the book called, Who is This Melchizedek? He said, like Luther preached, like Wesley preached, like Pentecost preached, and then we go to the rapture. So after Pentecost on the 7th, we go to the rapture. And he's there. He just said there. He said, okay, that's what we are supposed to preach. He said, yes. And that was my first sermon. And then we went to the two witnesses, two services there, and it was very good. Now, the following day was Monday, and Monday I tried to park. I could not park. I had two meetings with some a brother and a sister and another sister. They really wanted us to meet. I said, okay. And by the time I realized, I was not able to park because it was the evening again. Now, the following day, that was Tuesday, when I was now coming, is when I had to have the church meeting. Now, the church meeting with the elders, and because I'm leaving now. So we had a good meeting, but we're in a hurry because 8 is when we left home and went to the airport. So that's my report, brothers. But one of the things is, brother, is there. There's a thirst that has come. I don't know where it's come from. There's a thirst. There's a hunger that's come to those people. Brother, if we can do something, let's do something. I don't know whether I have any time or can we just leave it there?
This time.
This time? Okay. All right. So, may God bless you. Let me bring this that I thought. I'm just going to take about a few minutes, and then it's just a few quotes. Did you have the quotes? Sita Rebecca, did you have the quotes? Oh, okay. You did. Okay. I thought I sent them, but that's okay. That's okay. We can just have a look at them. My thing is, the thing that I'm feeling is like Revelation 10, 1 to 6 is different from Revelation 10 to 7. That's a topic of what I wanted to look at. Now, it's just something small. If you can say the quotes, that's okay. If you cannot, I will just read them. I'm reading from, maybe you can go to the bridge, just to show something there. So something there. Okay. Paragraph 37. I don't know where there. Paragraph 37, the bridge. If you can put it out fast, that's okay. Now, see, the mystery of the seventh seal book will be revealed at the sounding of the seventh church angel message. The seventh angel begins to sound, and there is the messages wrote out there. And we got it on tape and book form. That is the part that I feel sometimes, brothers, we feel like when he talks about that is in the tapes, we feel like it is this message from 1963. But that is not so. That is before 1963. That was the Revelation 10:7 is Brother Branham revealing the book. It's the seventh angel revealing the book. Because it says like this. Let's read that. Let's read Revelation 10. Let's read Revelation 10:7. Let's see. Oh, you see. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, now listen, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. Now, the mystery of God should be finished. Now, people don't move further and see what that is. What is this mystery that's gonna be revealed? What is this mystery? He goes on. As he had declared to his servants, the prophets. The prophets, when he comes to that, he says, as he declared to his servants, the prophets, he says, the prophets who wrote the Bible. The prophets are the people who wrote the Bible. Those is the Bible, is the opening of the Bible, written book. Revelation 10:7 is the revelation of the written book. I hope we understand that. Now, and when it's revealed, we're gonna see it in the prophets. When that book is revealed, after it's revealed, after the seals are revealed, here comes the angel. He gives that sequence. Here comes the angel. Here comes him. After this is revealed. I think that is something there that's a bit confusing, but you can see it. After opening the revelation of the book, after opening the Bible, after the Bible is open, now here comes the angel, and we're going to read that. Let's read that by the prophet. So there's, and you remember, when he's coming from heaven, there's another angel down here. And after he finishes his work, now this angel comes down. That's exactly what he says. Now see, the mystery of this seventh sealed book will be revealed at the sounding of the seventh angel. Angel's message, see? The seventh angel begins to sound, and there is the messages wrote out there. And we got it in tape and book form. What we got in the tape form are not the thunders. That's another thing that is really... Those are not the thunders. He's not come yet. According to the way I see it, he's not come yet. He's opened the Bible. And the Bible is him, of course, we know the Bible is him. Everything is him. Even in the church ages, it's him. That Holy Ghost was him. It's him. But now we are talking about when the wholeness of him comes. It's after all this is done. And he's saying, he's opening himself from heaven in mercy. I think we know that. He's been opening himself. He's been revealing himself. The Son of Man has been revealing himself in mercy from heaven. But now, after revealing himself in mercy, now he comes down here and he reveals himself in judgment. And he says, after he reveals himself in mercy, he's going to come here down and reveal himself in judgment. In judgment, after revealing himself in judgment, is the seals. When the seals are open and when he comes down, no more mercy. When he takes that book and opens himself and comes down, no more mercy. It's judgment. That's the difference.
Okay, now, okay. In tape and book form.
Now, in that book form, all that was written was, and he says, he does three things, and I don't want to get in that. He does these three things as he comes from down from heaven. And I say, a voice, a shout, and a trumpet. And all those things are the same thing. The prophet says, all those things are the same thing when he's coming down. Before he comes, he's revealing himself in mercy. As he comes down and he says, and all that is written, he says, all that is written in book form. He says, that book form are the messages that were written before he arrives. After he arrives, it's him speaking, and the thunders, it's him speaking to the bride. I hope you can see the difference. But before that, he says, those, a shout, voice, and a trumpet, he says, that is ramp dreaming time. And what is ramp dreaming time? It's just before he comes. Because he was here telling him, he was telling them, get out of my people, get away, get out of her, my people, get out. Oh, and all that was before he comes. Because he's coming. Get ready, trim your arms. He's coming. Shout, voice, and trumpet is actually telling them he's coming. That's what he says. He says, shout was telling the people he's coming. Get your arms. Trim your arms. I think there's a quote like that. Trim your arms. The shout was trim your arms. Trim your arms. Trim your arms was just before he came. That was God revealing himself in mercy from heaven. All this time he's revealing himself from heaven, coming down. And now, and again, when I say that, just don't get it like in your mind that he's in heaven. So many miles coming down, dropping 2 miles, 3 miles. No, it's not like that. Because here he is in William Marion Branham.
revealing himself as a son of man in mercy. So it's not mercy. We know it's just something to tell you that he's still not here. The fullness of him has not come here. But when he comes here, that will be in judgment. He reveals himself in judgment. That is when the seals are revealed. He comes down here. I hope you can see that. All right. Let's read this. Okay. In bookworm. Now, at the beginning of the sounding of this message, the mystery of God should be finished, you see, at that time now. We will notice the book of the mystery of God is not revealed until the seven angels' message is sounded. Now, he goes down there. Paragraph 40, I've jumped there to the two paragraphs. Now, you see, I'm just not making that up. That's what it does say the Lord. I'll read it to you out of the book. The sounding of the seventh angel's message, the mystery of God should be finished. That's been declared by his prophets. He says like that. What? He's reading it now. That has been declared by his prophets. That the prophets who has wrote the word. Those are the prophets who has wrote the word. Those are the prophets who have wrote the Bible. He says, who wrote the first testament? He said Moses. And of course, we know there's Jeremiah, there's Daniel, and those. But he said, the one who wrote the Old Testament was Moses. Then he says, the one who wrote the New Testament, those who are prophets, the prophets who wrote the Bible was Paul, who wrote the Second Testament. And of course, we see there's the Thessalonians, there's Luke, there's all that. But he says, they are the prophets who wrote the Bible. He says, actually, the word of God came to them, and they wrote what God was telling them. And he said, the prophet says, what happens is a seal is open in heaven. And when a seal opens in heaven, a seal drops and comes to a prophet here on earth. And he has that and he writes that what he's seeing in heaven. And he says, that is what happens in every age. That is what Noah did. A seal opened from heaven, but it's going to rain. And when it opened, there was him here on earth. Noah was here on earth. That seal dropped in him. Nobody else knew that. And he took it to the people. And that's what he does in every age. In every age. That's what he does. A seal opens from heaven. It drops to a prophet here on earth. That's how the Bible was written. Okay, now. Okay, I'm not. This is that says the Lord. I'll read it to you out of the book. The sound of the seven angels' message. The mystery of God should be finished. That's been declared by his prophets. That's the prophets who wrote the Bible. Who has wrote the word. At the sounding of the seventh church age, the last church age, all the rules said that though these church ages has been probed at, we would up together. Paragraph 41. And when the seals are broke, now listen, he's going to explain this very well. And when the seals are broke, he's going to give the sequence of it now. And when the seals are broke, how many seals? Not seven seals. Six seals. The six seals opened the Bible. He's going to say it. The six opened the Bible. The seventh brings him down. That is what he says in the book called Souls in Prison Now. The six seals opened the Bible. The seventh brings him down. If you read that, you're going to find out. If you read the book of the seals, you're going to find out that those things were happening. Like now, the first seal. First seal happened during Paul's time. And they happened in the church ages. The four seals happened in the church ages. The fifth and the sixth are different. Because they concern the Israelites. The seventh brings him down. So the prophet says that the six seals opened the whole Bible. It tells you of how everything, how the earth and everybody and everything is redeemed. It opens the book of redemption. The book of redemption is the Bible. The Bible is the book of redemption. It's how he's going to redeem. Is how he's going to redeem the people, the earth, and everything. So the six seals opens the Bible. It reveals how he's going to redeem the whole thing. The whole thing will be redeemed. How it's going to be redeemed is told by the six seals. The seventh brings him down. The prophet says, the seventh seal, listen very carefully, the seventh seal, and Revelation 10, 1 to 7 is the same thing. I hope you know that quote in the Feast of the Trumpets. I hope you know that. The Feast of Trumpets. Okay. Remember. Okay. And when the seals are broke and the mysteries are revealed, of the six seals, I'm gonna read a quote that is gonna say the six seals now. But before then, let's just follow the prophet. Message is revealed. Down comes the angel, the messenger.
Christ setting his foot upon, you see, and when the seals are broke and the mystery is revealed, when that happens, down comes. After what? After the mystery is revealed, after the seals are broke, down comes the angel. The messenger, Christ, he says, is Christ can be lad upon the sea, is the rainbow over his head. Now remember, this seventh angel is on earth. Seventh angel is Revelation 10:7. Seventh angel is Revelation. He should be here on earth. It's Revelation 10:7. And in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, that's the seventh angel, that's Brother Branham. So Brother Branham must be here when that mighty angel is coming from heaven. Yeah, I can see that. At the same time, the Messiah come, just as John, how will it be? Just as John. John was here on earth when Christ came, is that it? Just again, and he introduced him. So is John, so is this other John now, the same spirit of the spirit of Elijah in Brother Branham, will introduce him just like John introduced Christ. I think you can see that. He's suggesting it will be the same way. He says, just as John was giving his message the same time that the Messiah came in the days of John, John knew he would see him because he was going to introduce him. He's telling you the same way. So Brother Branham knew he would see him because he wanted to introduce him. You replace that with Brother Branham. What he says is the same thing. He says, and we realize that now he tells you who this will be, who that angel will be, that will be here or not, as the mighty angel is coming from down from heaven. And we realize that in the scriptures over in Malachi 4, he goes to Malachi 4. The man with the spirit of Elijah, which is actually Brother Branham. Is that right? And he goes down, he says, there is to be one like John and Elijah to whom the word of God can come to. And he is to reveal by the Holy Spirit all the mysteries of God and restore the faith of the children back to their fathers, to the apostolic fathers. Restore back all these mysteries that's been probed at through these denominations. Now, that's what the word says. That's what the word said. I'm just responsible for what he said. It's written that that's what it is. And then I've just taken a piece from the book called, because I just wanted to make it very small, the book called The Feast of the Trumpets. The Feast of the Trumpets, paragraph 46, down there, just the last two lines there, it says like this. The sixth seal, listen now, the sixth seal finishes the mystery. And the sixth seal, just before the seventh is opened. The sixth seal, what mystery? We've not yet got to the ladders. What are ladders? Ladders are hidden in the Bible. That's what it says. And the book is actually written within and without. I know there's a very big question about it. What is this without? But that's what the Bible says. It's written within and without. There's something else. There's something else. After the whole Bible is open, there's something else. Hidden in the Bible. The sixth seal finishes the mystery at the sixth seal, just before the seventh. The seventh, when the seventh comes, that is the ladders. That's the ladders. That's him now talking. What is he talking? It's hidden there, but it's not written. But it's hidden there. That is what he's talking. Things that were not known from the foundation of the world. I hope you can see. We need another revelation upon the word. When we didn't know things about the orphan. We didn't know them. We thought that our soul is all the orphan. But now a new revelation is hidden there. A new revelation upon the word. Okay. This is the seal. This is where he's talking about something. Let's read it, brothers. Let's read it. Okay. Let's read it. Paragraph 126, the sixth seal. He says, compare scripture of this great event. Compare the scripture of this great event about the sixth seal. The sixth seal. You know, the sixth seal is salvation of, is actually judgment in the salvation of the 144,000. That's the salvation of that. That's the salvation of those. And this book is about how he redeemed 144,000 souls at the altar, the Gentiles, everybody. How everybody was. It's called the Book of Redemption. It's a book where it explains or it says how everything and everybody was redeemed. Even the earth. How is the earth going to be redeemed? How is the earth going to... Like that. Praise be to God. That's the purpose of that. That's the sixth seal. The sixth seal is how... The sixth seal is a judgment and how the 146 Israelites, not Gentiles, nobody in Gentiles, the 146, are they saved now? It's done. There's another quote that says this. When you see him here, when Revelation 10 happens, there's nothing else to be saved. It's done. Salvation is over. Mercy is over. Everything is over. It's a quote. It's a question and answers. In question and answers. One of the question and answers. It's over. About salvation, about redemption. It's over. Redemption is over. Redemption is over. What happens? There's no more mercy. What happens? Let me tell you what happens. The world is divided into three, if you don't know, if you want to know. It's for people who want maybe to remind. I can remind you a bit. The whole world is divided into three. No, nothing more. It's called the believer, the non-believer, the make believer. There's nothing else. Is that right, brother? Is there another group? There's no group. There's no other group. It's finished. Make believer, believer, and non-believer. And I say, there's nothing like two groups. There's nothing like three groups. There are only one. There are only two groups. By revelation, by faith, it's only two groups. One group is called non-believers. Whether they're going to make believe or whatever they're going to do. But they are non-believers. Then the other group is believers. And what God has done today, listen very carefully. That the prophet in the church, he says, this is what he says, he's done. There's all these denominations. That's all these denominations. The whole world is divided into two. They all have gone, it's called uniting time and sign. They have united together. All the denominations, and they are called tears in the Bible. If you follow it very well, they are called tears. They go together with it. So the whole world has been divided. You got to belong somewhere. All the world, all the people who are calling themselves Christians and what have you and what other denominations, they have gathered together. It's called uniting time and sign. That was 1963. There was a time that was called the uniting time and sign. They united themselves together. And they become one. They become one. On the other side, God also, by shout, voice, and a trumpet, gathered his people together. His bride together. And his bride was gathered together. Can you get that? And now, when this is gathered, the prophet says, the Baptists, they gathered, all the Baptists gathered together. All the Presbyterians gathered together. All those churches gathered together individually. Then all of them gather together as one group. It's called the World Council of Churches. He said, that is the image of the beast. He said, that is the image of the beast. He said that. And when they are gathered together like that, the prophet says, they're not going to be burned. No, they're not going to be burned. No. Not now. They'll still continue calling themselves Christians, doing and worshiping like they are Christians. And the prophet in the book called Souls in Prison Now. There's no ray of hope. Have you ever read that quote, brothers? There's no ray of hope. They have no mercy. No more mercy on them. But again, on this other side, when they gather together like that, and when you see them gathered, the prophet says, it's the time for the rapture of the bride. So he raptures the bride. What is rapture? Caught up. He gets caught up with the bride. The bride and the bridegroom gets together. When they get together, they are together. They will never part. Remember, they will never part. You talk about millennium, you talk about new heaven, whatever. They are together and they will never part. The bride and the bridegroom get together and they never part. Amen. Praise be to God. Now you talk about Brother Joe, I think we talked with you a bit on how are these people gonna you know, there's a mark that's going to be put on people. Is that right? I think you people know a mark that's going to be put on people in the heart. Listen. Praise be to God. Anything, listen very carefully. Anything that is not the bride, that's why no mercy. That's why no more mercy. Because anything that's not the bride is marked. Can you get that? It's marked. That's judgment. It's marked on their forehead. What's forehead? They believe they cannot have the full elevation like the bride has. They cannot. In their mind, they cannot have. What do? They work on the sign of the heart. They serve the beast. I think that is easier said. They serve the beast. No, they don't know even. They don't know, but they serve the beast. Not where you work. You don't work in a church. You can even work at Pope's office. No problem. You can be there and be his cook. No, that's not what you're talking about. That's not what you're talking about. But what do you do? What do you do in your life? Who do you serve? Who do you serve in your life? If you are Christian, if you are son of God, if you are daughter of God, you serve God. Whatever you do, you serve God. Even your efforts, even if you work at the Pope's house or wherever you are, or wherever you are, your mind and your everything, you serve God. Those people don't serve God. Those people don't serve God. That's why they cannot even serve God. They don't know God. They serve something else. When they have worked, what they come to do back is a denominationalism. What they call their God is a denomination. That's what they serve. And it will be so close, it will deceive the very elect if it was possible. It will deceive the elect, it will deceive the bride if it was possible. Why can't they be deceived? They can be deceived. But they are in the hearts of the truth. They are held on the hearts of the truth. Who is the truth? And the truth and life. They are held there. They don't know nothing else. They even don't. Let me tell you. It's not how much you study. It's not how much you pray. It's not how much you do that. No, brother. It's because you are held by the master. There's nothing you can do. Even if you wanted to be wrong, you can't. Even if you wanted to be a sinner, you cannot be. God chose you before the foundation of the world and brought you here. He's the one who is working on you. That's why no sin can even be imputed on you. Nothing. You know that you don't fall. You don't think bad. No, it's not like that. It's because of him. What is done. Not what you do. You think you are very good at prayer. A prayer warrior. That's okay. That's good. But that's not it. That's not it. You see, I study. That's not it. Not your studying, brother. Not your studying. Not your doing nothing. It's because you are held. You are captive. You are a prisoner. You are somebody that belongs to somebody. And there's nothing you can do except him. And that's the only way for today to be a Christian. Praise be to God. Now, let's just finish this reading lesson. I didn't need to preach. Compare scriptures of this great event that we see that this great secret, a mystery, that was under the seal, or the book of redemption. Of the book of redemption. It was under the sixth seal of the book of redemption. Now remember, these are hidden mysteries. And the six seals, now this is where I wanted you to get. And this, and the six seals all together is one great big book. Just six scrolls rolled together. And it unwinds the whole book of redemption. That's how the whole earth was redeemed. What unwinds the whole book of redemption? Six seals. I hope you get that. Six seals unwinds the book of redemption. And now the last quote. The last quote. Now I close now. And here he returns back. In the tenth chapter. After the coming time that all the mysteries is to be finished. After that coming, all the mysteries is to be finished. And the seals are to be broke. And proclaiming that the time is no more. After that happens, he proclaims that time is no more. And he said, when the seventh angel has begun to sound, then the mystery should be finished. and time for the angel to appear. The mystery has got to be finished. And then the time for the mighty angel to appear. We are close somewhere, right? Now notice, it goes to something else. Let's pray. We cannot thank you enough, Lord. We don't have the words, Father, to say how we appreciate, Lord, how we are happy, Father, of the things, Lord God, that you've opened to our eyes, the things that we see, Father, the things, Lord God, that we were not talked into them, Lord. It's not persuaded, Father, by somebody, Father. It is something that you've done and you've become, and we've become part of that. So deeply in it, Lord, that we cannot be taken out of this, Father. We are so much in it. We know it. We know it's you. And we've seen you, Lord. We know it, Lord God, down deep in our hearts, Father. And when this happened, Lord, we look back and see, it's not anything that I have done. It's not anything anybody has done, Lord. It's your grace. It's your mercy, Father. It's your show of love, Lord. We come to you now, thanking you for that, Lord. And we don't know, Father, but our prayer is, take us to yourself. Draw us to yourself, Father. We are your children, Lord God. Take us to yourself. Make us prisoners, Father. Where, Father, there's nothing we can do but what your will is, Lord. We realize who you are, Lord. You are our husband. You are our master. You are our father. You are everything, Lord. And now we commit ourselves to you. Just have us on your laps is our prayer. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Brother Dawn.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Appreciate that. Tell you, Brother Goomba, he spends a lot of time when he's there. You can't imagine the pull that is upon him from the people. He has a real gift and a real the people there, there's a lot of respect for his ministry, and they just come from everywhere. And him talking about ministers coming in, people coming in and just talk all night, spend all night with their questions and different things, the Lord really has to give him strength. Because it takes such a toll upon him. And so we want to pray that somehow God will help us, that he can go more, and because there's a great need there. There's a great hunger both there in Africa, India, those places we know, and we know there's a great hunger. And so, and speaking of those things, now we have we're looking forward to the Easter meetings, and we had a meeting this week to try to start getting things together. We're getting some brothers from different countries that are trying to come in. Brother Benjamin from India, several from Kenya, a couple of brothers from Sri Lanka, and then some brothers from South Africa. So we know the ones in Africa have a hard time with the visa, but there's several that are trying. I think maybe some of them will be able to do that. One thing I wanted to mention today before we dismiss for the meal is one of the ones who feel like they're able, when the people coming in, if you're able to keep somebody in your home, if you would just give us put it on paper and tell us what you would be comfortable with, it's going to be for a week, there from the 13th to the 20th, and so we want you to, if you feel able, you feel comfortable, then, and you have room in your home, then if you'll just write that down, tell us, male or female, or family, or whatever you're able to do, then if you have any questions, you can just come to any one of us. And about those things. So I wanted to mention that this morning because we're trying to get ahead. Time is, we still have a couple months, but it comes fast, and so we want to get that. Now, also, I wanted to ask, brother, are you a minister, Brother Sergio? I'll take that as a yes. Would you like to come and greet the people, maybe say something? You're welcome. We just want to give you that opportunity. Today we're having a dinner afterwards, and everyone's welcome, and we're not in a hurry. We're just here to fellowship. But so would you like to come? Yeah, come. Just greet the people and feel welcome. Amen. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
God bless you, everyone. My lineage is very similar, limited, and we are from Ukraine. Actually, I born in Russia, in Siberia, and we live in Ukraine. And I tell the small history of our life, just short. And we received the message 1995. I received the first book in Russian language, mm-hmm. that message book, and from that time till now we are really enjoying with the message, and God opened our eyes more and more, and we make a good job in Ukraine, in Russia, where we came to United States 1995 and to Washington State. And we received the message. At the same time, we just arrived to United States, September 1995, and we received the message in November the same year,
wow.
Just 2 months later, from the voice of God. Mm-hmm. And we live eight years in Washington State. In 2003, we are moving back to Donetsk, and this is east of Ukraine. And we dedicate the church over there. We support the brother Biskal Church. You know, you heard about Biskal. Yeah, he supported the building church in Donetsk. In 2003, in November, we got dedicate the church, and we start printing the book in Russian language and shipping to of the post-Soviet Union, the nation, and we did a great job for many, many years. And 2014, we got problem in Ukraine, in Kyiv, in capital city. And from that time, and right in Donetsk, we got the war for 2 years, and we live in two years in a war condition. And 2015, because I got 8 kids, I got 6 boys and 2 daughters, and my youngest is 24, and we got 17 grandkids so far. Yes, and it's all my kids, it's believers. Some is message believers, but and 3 of them for now, they got left the message, but I believe this is temporary and they come back again. And because now in the message area and the message church, too many voices around it, mm-hmm. and you know, it's pull somebody, but I believe if you are receive the person who bring this message, it's never get you over, never get you back, because you receive you meet the person, Jesus Christ, who bring the revelation, what we're hearing today about that. Yeah, and in 2015, we live in 2 years, like I told, to live 2 years in a war condition, and I got 6 boys who have to go to the war, because everybody, all boys who came 18 years old and older, you have to go to the war. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if you're Russian side or Ukraine side, you have to go to the war. And God showed me two dreams before this happened, and I just understand if I not move from Donetsk, because the war started right from our city. Mm-hmm. And I just understand because God gave me a revelation through the dream, and I take my family and we are moving back in Washington State again, November 2015. Actually, the November, too many days around November. Yeah. And from that time, we are just stay here, and but we continue the fellowship and really tied to Christian, to believers in Ukraine, in Russian side, and we make a convention right before 22, when is the Russia start real war to Ukraine. Until that time, we got every fall, make it the convention, is some ministry, Barikov and some another brothers, and you know, the minister there, and it's wonderful. We are continue on with the message of this hour. We enjoy it, and I believe God growing us, bring more revelation about the message of the hour, and we are really thank you for God. We are Russian. We never heard about the message till the 1995. It's not have any idea Malachi 4 or something, but it's God show find us, because we was in Him before the foundation of the world. This is the what doesn't matter. What is your nation? Where you live? Just God find you, because we are part of Him. He cannot find us, losing us. Yeah, and thank you for the service. Actually, when we left, it's when we received the message, and that time we went to Pentecostal Church, Russian Pentecostal Church in Washington State, and after like 2.5 years, when we get baptized of the Lord name Jesus Christ, and we left the Pentecostal church and we started the home church like you guys do now. Uh-huh. And we got in this condition like a home church about maybe 2 years in our house. Uh-huh. And later on, we just, you know, some believers more coming, and we are joined to Brother Biscoe Church in Canada side, British Columbia. And like I said, we moved back to Donetsk and got did a lot of work over there, and people came to the church, received the message, and it's so good.
Amen.
I believe for everybody in us, if God choosing us before the foundation of the world, He got something purpose to your and my life. You came to this earth not for just visit the church. You have to do something for God, because you was in His mind. Yeah, this is it. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, brother. Amen. We appreciate that. And we appreciate you taking the time to come and be with us today. And we hope we'll have more fellowship with you in the future. And we just thank God. So once again, we want you to know all are welcome to stay and to have the meal and have some fellowship together. And we appreciate that. And we do appreciate Brother Goomba. And some of the things that he was talking about, there's a lot of, as the brother said also, there's a lot of ideas. There's a lot of ideas. But the whole Bible was written, Brother Branham said, in a mystery. It was a mystery. And it even says that Jesus, without a parable, spake not unto them. Without a parable. So He predestinated before the foundation of the world every person that was going to be able to see it, and they would be able to receive it, and they'd be able to understand it. And in your case, brother, I think that is just, it's so amazing to think that God brought you from another country, put you there, and within a few months, 2 or 3 months, mm-hmm. he turns your whole life around mm-hmm. and lets you see the whole plan of God. And you don't see it all at once, but it's a growing thing. But to let you see what God had in his mind and what he was doing, and I think it's a great thing. There was a turn that took place 2,000 years ago. The veil of the temple rent. And when it did, it closed the Old Testament. It closed it. And it opened up a new and a living way. And then we come down in this day. And those seals, Brother Branham said, when those seals opened, he said, that closes the New Testament and seals it. He said, it finishes it. It's fulfilled. It's done now. But there's something still going on. There's something still happening. As Brother Gumba said, that mighty angel came down and he spoke those seven thunder mysteries. Yeah. And those are the mysteries that are hidden right there in the message. They're laying right there. Yeah. And some people can see them and some people can't see them. Mm-hmm. But they're there. Yeah. And we thank God. That's the message. This is the bright age. This is the calling out of everything. Calling out of everything, calling you into the presence of God, into the kingdom of God. And I like the way the brother said it also. It's knowing that person, the person of Jesus Christ. And that's where people have failed. They've had all kind of ideas. Brother Branham said they think he's like the wind. He just goes, no, he's a person. He's a person. And when you meet him, you will never forget him. And never forget him. Amen. So we're going to ask you to stand with us. I'm going to just ask Brother Michael to come back and let's sing a song, something, as we prepare to close.
Praise the Lord. Let's sing that chorus, "So Glad I'm Yours." Amen. That's what makes the difference. We're a part of him.
So glad I'm yours, Lord, so glad I'm yours, so glad your mercy has followed me, so glad you found me and you set me free, so glad I'm yours.
Father, we're so thankful that you found us, Lord, because we would have staggered on in darkness all of our lives, Lord. But you, rich in mercy, Lord, come down and found us, Lord, and drew us out. You was drawing us out long before we even knew it, Lord. Long before we ever broke the surface of the water, Lord. And knew what the sun really felt like. You had been all along shining on us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for your truth. We thank you for how you're spreading it, Lord. And Lord, we pray you'll continue on until one day this world fades away, Lord, and the one that you had in mind all along takes place. Lord, it's already taking place in the hearts of your people.
Yes.
And Lord, may it continue on as we go from here, Lord. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. See ya.